Morse, Sister O.A. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. June 7, 1900. Dear Sister Morse, I received your letter yesterday. I can only write a few lines in reply because at the present time I am unable to write. I have ventured to draw too heavily on my bank of strength until there has been an overdraft. I am now laid up for repairs. When your letter came, I told Sarah I would not be able to write at all. But perhaps I shall be able to write a little. I have great interest in all the schools started by our people. The light that has been given me is that in no case should there be brought into our schools things which, though apparently innocent and harmless, will pervert the senses and confuse the power of distinguishing between right and wrong. When the drapery that clothes these apparently good efforts is withdrawn, there appears a network of the enemy's weaving. Thus he would bring in the subtle arguments which he has used in all the churches and more or less in our institutions. A few weeks ago, before we were aware of the fact, games were introduced into our school here. I will send you, when I get it copied, that which the Lord gave me in reproof. You may say, what we propose to do is not of that character. We need money, and we think that the most successful way to raise it is to have the children do something. I tell you in the name of the Lord that it is not God's plan to obtain means in the way you propose. In all the church schools that are established, we need to labor most earnestly for the salvation of the lambs of the flock. I know from the light which the Lord has been pleased to give me that the children of our churches in the suburbs of Melbourne have not received the right kind of education. It is very important that our church school in Melbourne be established on right principles. The children must be taught in a practical way the truths of the Bible. They must be taught that they are not their own, that they have been bought with a price which is beyond computation, and that as God's purchased possession, they are under obligation to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We have only a short time in which to show that we place a proper estimate upon that which Christ has purchased with His own blood, our own souls and the souls of others. Children should be taught that they have a soul to save or a soul to lose. Christ has shown the value He places upon the human soul by giving Himself up to a life of self-denial and self-sacrifice for our sakes. He laid off His royal robe and kingly crown, and, leaving the heavenly courts, came to this world to live the law by which God governs His kingdom. For our sake, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. For us, He lived a life of consecration. By following His example, by living lives of self-denial and self-sacrifice, we may be fitted for the mansions Christ has gone to prepare for those who love Him. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. This means just what it says. Only by self-denial and self-sacrifice can we show that we are true disciples of Christ. The Savior's invitation is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Now, in the place of following the line you propose, which I cannot endorse because it is not Christ's way, let those who shall act a part in the school as teachers examine their dress. Let them see whether in every respect it is plain, simple, and appropriate. Then inquire, who will unite with us in practicing self-denial in dress? In the place of buying unnecessary and expensive drapery, let our sisters deny themselves and consecrate the money thus saved to a fund to be used for sending to the school children who could not otherwise attend. Form a class to do this work of self-denial, and call it by some name which signifies helpers together with Christ. Work for the love of those he came to save. Much money slips through the fingers in the purchase of lollies. Teach the children that they can help by saving the money thus spent and putting it into the self-denial fund. Show them how they may increase the fund penny by penny. In every family, this work should be done. It needs tact and method and will be the best education children can receive. Thus, they may be taught to show their love for Christ. It is not possible to think of and love Jesus and never mention his name. Parents and children need to learn the lesson contained in the words, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Verse 29. The best entertainment we can give to God and the heavenly angels is to deny ourselves to the utmost of our ability for the sake of him who gave his life to seek and save that which was lost. Let the Sabbath clothing of the parents who claim to be following Jesus be free from all unnecessary expense. The money saved in this way to help children to attend school will be recognized by the great teacher, and his blessing will rest upon the school. The object of the school is to educate children to consecrate themselves to God. Teach them to learn in Christ's school his lessons of self-denial, meekness, and lowliness. Parents could do much more for their children if they would give them, by their own example, lessons of self-denial and self-sacrifice. They should be taught to put the money they save into the self-denial fund, and then, as these sums are brought together, there may be a musical entertainment, not to create a fund, but to sing praises of God. From love to Christ and those he came to save, the children have brought their offerings. And there are more than human spectators at the scene. Angels will be entertained, and the heavenly choir will join the singing in approval of such an entertainment. The flowers of the field, in their endless variety, are always ministering to the delight of the children of men. God himself nourishes every root that he may express his love to all who will be softened and subdued by the works of his hands. We need no artificial display. God's love is represented by the beautiful things of his creation. These things mean more than many suppose. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, Christ said. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or, What shall we drink? Or, Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 28-33. Here is presented the necessity of seeking for the heavenly adorning, even the robe of Christ's righteousness. This robe every human being must put on who desires to enter the pearly gates of the New Jerusalem. We need not a new writing from anyone to give us true principles. We need a new reading of the Bible in order that we may understand and practice its principles. The Bible simply needs to be read properly. It is the one who brings to the study of the Word of God a spirit of submission and obedience that gets spiritual food from it. But oh, there are so many who are spiritually blind. The Lord is soon to come. Let the burden of teachers be to educate children to usefulness and self-denial in this life, that they may be prepared for the life immortal.